I've now had three articles published on a website, very specific website I've chosen to submit to. I mean, please don't laugh. It's called Conservative Woman. I mean, the reason I've chosen this website is because of the audience that it targets. The founder of the website used to be very close to Michael Gove. And so they are very much the heart of the Tory kind of party. And I feel so strongly that the Conservative Party needs to understand what's going on and what it is that they're supporting in the government that they helped to get elected. Because there seems to me to be a complete separation of conservative values and what a conservative government is doing. And I'm a writer and researcher by background, published a book 10 years ago and have written various things on and off throughout the years. And I feel very strongly that people are just being completely fooled. They're not understanding the bigger picture at all. And it was particularly an article that I wrote about why are the Tories deliberately destroying capitalism that you picked up on, Tony. One could be fooled for thinking that capitalism was the great survivor, the great victor out of this COVID crisis. Because apart from when stock markets fell off a cliff, whenever it was last March, the indexes have since almost returned to pre-COVID levels. So one could be fooled into thinking that capitalism had survived and was going from strength to strength. But what the stock market doesn't tell you is what is going on in the rest of the economy. As the Americans say, there is a big divide between Wall Street and Main Street. I mean, that particular phrase doesn't work quite so well in England because we don't really talk about City of London and the High Street, but that is effectively what we're talking about, is the separation between the two. And what we are seeing is a Conservative Party who we are led to believe is pro-capitalism, seemingly going out of its way to not look after the High Street. I mean, to emphasise the point that the Conservatives are supposedly in favour of capitalism is just the example of self-invested pensions that they were promoting so that lots of people would then be exposed to the stock market, which is fine, no problem with that. I don't have a problem myself with capitalism. I have a problem with extremes and with how certain policies are favouring one aspect of the whole capitalist spectrum rather than another. Because what we are seeing very clearly is that it's the mega corporations who are doing so well out of the COVID crisis. And it's the small to medium-sized enterprises that are really, really struggling. And you would have thought that a Conservative Party that believed in Britain, that believed in the UK, that believed in business, would not do anything to damage small and medium-sized enterprises. So it makes you very suspicious. Why are they doing this? And in this article, I compare their treatment by the Tory government of these businesses to the policies pursued by the Soviet Union in the 1930s, when they decided that to get rid of the peasant farmers known as the kulaks. And they did this by literally killing a lot of them, deporting many, but murdering a good number. And the reason that they did this in the 1930s was because they felt that these kulak peasant farmers were in the way of, they were an obstacle to modernization. They were stopping them from pursuing the policy of collectivization of the farms, because these peasant farmers, they owned a few acres. They weren't necessarily hugely wealthy, but they had their own pieces of land, and they did not want to join in with collective farms. Now, the consequence of that appalling anti-human policy was not just that the kulaks died, but so did many ordinary Russians die. Because what the Soviet government hadn't appreciated was that the kulaks actually knew how to farm. And so when they killed off these small entrepreneurial peasant farmers, they killed off the knowledge. And the consequence of that was that millions of people in Russia starved because no one had the actual knowledge of how to run a farm. Now, I'm not saying in my analogy with what's going on today that we are going to see starvation as a result of the death of the high street. But who knows what the horrific consequences will be of the destruction of these bricks and mortar businesses. And the reason why I think the Tory government is pursuing this very unusual and very out of character approach to small to medium-sized enterprises is because I think it is so determined to introduce the World Economic Forum's Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And it sees these particular businesses, these particular bricks and mortar high street businesses, as being an obstacle to modernization. They're not digital. They do not form part of this new future that the government is determined to inflict upon us. But what they haven't thought through are the consequences of this decision. And this is what is so appalling. And what will be the long-term consequences of the losses of these businesses? And my suspicion is that we won't see a huge growth in business, a huge growth in the economy as a consequence. We'll just see even more misery and depression and losses. Because the mega corporations, they have no problem hoovering up all the failed businesses out there. They have no problem getting bigger and bigger. And it's not to everyone's benefit that these mega corporations, who only represent one aspect of capitalism, that they dominate everything. And so that is really my major concern, is that the ordinary members of the Conservative Party and those who are elected as MPs haven't understood that this is what is going on. They haven't seen the bigger picture, and they're not doing anything to actually defend bricks and mortar businesses. They're not actually standing up for capitalism in all its forms. Because it's from these smaller businesses that new businesses come about, that they are the engine of growth. This is, some of them only employ one or two people. So this is what is so disappointing, because they are the backbone of the economy. They are the underlying growth engine of the economy. And this idea that we can all just migrate to online is a nonsense. The government is not understanding that technology is just another parasite, really. It requires underlying growth processes in order to feed off. And if we're very lucky, the parasitic relationship is symbiotic, and we all can all benefit from technology. But there are increasing signs that it could also be not beneficial, that it is actually a way of turning us into victims of the whole system, where we are surveilled and tracked and monitored, and our buying habits are predicted. Something that Professor Shoshana Zuboff, the Harvard professor of economics, talks about as surveillance capitalism. I don't have too much problem with that up to a point, because at least if you have some awareness, you can hit the unsubscribe button, you can decide not to buy those products. You can, if you are aware of what is going on with the way your purchasing habits are monitored. You can, to some extent, head that off. Where I have a major problem is when big government decides to take advantage of monitoring you and decides that it has the right to view what you're up to in terms of your purchases and all the rest of it. There I have a major issue with that. And one of the most dystopian stories to come out of the whole COVID thing is that the International Monetary Fund is considering looking at people's browsing habits as a way of establishing their credit criteria. I think that's a major invasion of privacy and really unacceptable. So there are some huge implications of all of this that have really not been thought through, because I think that the government is going through a sort of knee-jerk reaction and being forced to be the puppets of this whole Great Reset agenda, which is not fundamentally in our best interests. So what should we do? So, well, for one thing, it's really important that people realise what's going on, because my fear is that what's happening is that they're using the virus and all the issues around vaccinations and all the rest of it as something of a smokescreen. That's not to say that those issues aren't important, but people are only focusing on what's at hand, what's in front of them. They're not looking at the bigger picture. They're not looking at the direction of travel. They're not realizing that this COVID crisis is being used as a stealth mechanism for introducing Agenda 2030, introducing sustainable development goals, introducing the fourth industrial revolution. People are not seeing that, even though World Economic Forum is being perfectly open about all of this. There's no actual hidden agenda. They're not being nefarious in any sense. They're very blatant about it. It's just it's not discussed in mainstream media. It's not really discussed openly by the government. So they're being very devious in that sense. Because if you think about it, what on earth has battling a virus got to do with climate change? But that is what you hear World Health Organization talk about. That is what you hear the Pope talk about. That's what you hear Prince of Wales talk about, Klaus Schwab or the World Economic Forum talk about. They all talk about this is an opportunity to combat climate change. How we get out of the virus crisis is an opportunity to change the world, make it greener. And we can all see where that's going. We only have to look at the example of Texas and Germany in this recent cold snap, where all the renewables couldn't cope. Wind turbines froze up, the solar panels were covered in snow. They've had massive power outages in Texas. People have been without water, without electricity for several days. Germany, they had to buy more gas from Russia. They had to get their coal-fired power stations back up and running. And yet this is the direction of travel that our puppet government want to take us in. They want to take us down this road of misery, unemployment, cold, and certain death for some, because this is what you can look for forward to, our power outages and so forth, because renewables are just not up to it. And how anybody can still believe that that a gas called carbon dioxide is responsible for the jet stream and the polar vortexes and all the rest of it, and that somehow global warming means global cooling, it just shows you the utter madness of these nonsense people. But this is what is in store for us, and this is where they want to take us, so that they have everything online, and that's their solution to everything. But it's not going to work. You asked me a question about BBC. I have no idea what they're up to, but they have been up to now just a propaganda tool for the government. you can't expect any serious analysis to come out of the BBC anymore, sadly, these days. And their ratings have fallen dramatically. People find much more information from programmes like yours, Tony, these days, which is good news for everybody else. What qualities should these roles entail? Well, they should entail being impartial, Ofcom. They should entail being entirely objective, but you can't expect that in this climate. The push to pursue an agenda is so powerful at the moment. I've also had another article published on this same Conservative Woman website in the last week, which my title for it was "Why Are We Still Being Forced to Live in a Police State?" And I have wondered if the reason why we have this constant presence of the police everywhere, and I use the example of the hillside near where I live, during the sunny, the snowy time in January, when there were families up there playing snowballs and building snowmen, very remote car park, suddenly a police car turns up on a Sunday. I mean, what on earth is that all about? Why are we deploying resources in this way? They didn't do anything. They just parked for a bit and then left. What a waste of time and money. And why do we have to be persecuted in this way? And I have wondered if, because what's going on is that the penny is beginning to drop, that there may well be resistance in the country to the introduction of fascism. Cops everywhere. I mean, we're just having them in our face wherever you go, whatever you do. It's just mad. And yet, when you needed them back in the past, you couldn't raise them for a love nor money. When we had an illegal rave here in the hills where I live a few years ago, we couldn't get the police to turn out at all. And that was not a fun moment. So, but I wonder if they are concerned, there is growing concern, because there may well be a realisation that fascism could meet with some resistance. There was a very revealing video posted by World Economic Forum recently, in which they say, "Oh, we're not doing anything nefarious. Sounds like we're up to world domination. That's just a conspiracy theory," and it could not be more blatant that they are coordinating global leaders. Build back better is a mantra that you find from global leaders all over the world. And that is a World Economic Forum mantra. What was particularly revealing about this video from World Economic Forum was that it had something like 200,000 views and they could only muster 1,500 likes and there were 19,000 dislikes. And the comments section below was along the lines of, "You can stick your World Economic Forum Great Reset where the sun don't shine." Not exactly supportive. So if one's going to take that as a survey of public opinion, the government should take note of that kind of thing. Because once people realise what's going on, they may not react too well. And that's why they have to keep going with these distractions of this vaccine and that regulation and can't do this and can't do that. And, oh, we may let you out of your cages in a week, in a month, 6 months, a year, just playing with us. They're just playing with us. And we mustn't take any notice of it. We mustn't rise to the bait. We mustn't allow it to get us down. These crises will pass and more people will realise that we've been duped. And especially, sadly, if people are going to be dying from the virus after having had the vaccination, people will lose confidence in what the government is trying to do. And then they will have an unholy mess on their hands. And there will be no shiny new fourth industrial revolution to fill the gap. And the only way, in my view, that we can build back, not even build back better, but build back at all, is we have freedom and allow capitalism in an ethical sense, nothing too extreme, small to medium-sized businesses to operate and do what they do best, providing employment and services to people. And you're right, people are already breaking the rules. People are getting so fed up with all these petty restrictions. And there aren't bodies falling over in the streets. And isn't it funny how once Trump disappeared from the White House in America, the narrative in America started to change. All of a sudden, we find articles published in the New York Times saying, oh, coronavirus is just going to become like a normal common cold and we'll just have to get used to it, just be one of those annoying things. And we also find states like California and governors like Cuomo in New York talking about opening up and restrictions slowly lifting in those places. People are allowed to go back to eating outside in restaurants and so forth. So the pandemic clearly did its job in America. It managed to leave Trump's economy in ruins. It provided the perfect pretext for mail-in ballots, which could be manipulated. It gave them the perfect pretext to keep poll watchers at bay when they were doing the election count, allowing all sorts of appalling abuses to take place. And now it's done its job. It's slowly fading away. And also we found the World Health Organization has reduced the number of PCR cycles for the testing of cases. And so cases are declining. And at some point, people are really going to wake up and go, hang on a minute, none of this makes sense. And they should start to ask the hard questions. They really should. And I'm sure capitalism will survive in one form or another. But I think we want a form of capitalism that actually represents the majority of the country rather than just the mega corporations who don't care about anybody except for themselves. My article on why Tories are trying to destroy capitalism. The comments section is just amazing. Nearly 180 comments, most of them very sympathetic and understanding. So I really do believe that people who can still think, who haven't turned into a zombie, are seriously questioning what is going on. So that gives me great hope for the future.